Hello and welcome to the Pop Papa Napcast, episode number 88. I'm your host, TJ Deitch. I also run the website poppapa.com. That's P-O-P-P-A.com. This is the parenting podcast that I record ostensibly while my kids are napping, but in this case, it's while my daughter is at preschool and my son is with my mom upstairs eating yogurt, I believe. So the title is, not necessarily going to be accurate forever because the kids are not always going to be napping and I'm going to have more time to podcast, but you get the general idea. I like to take a little bit of time out of every week to sit down in the microphone and talk about how the week's been going, how life's going, and offering a few suggestions to other parents on things that their kids might like, sharing some stories, and hopefully offering up a piece of information or two that might help out fellow parents. This week has actually been pretty relaxed and back to normal. If you listen to last week's episode, you heard that my mom, who comes over and watches the kids during the day while I work from home for my job as a freelance writer, she was sick on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday we wound up having snow, so my wife was working from home and I was home. And, you know, it was just a different day than normal, as you can imagine. So those days when I was just with the kids myself were pretty tough, mostly because I couldn't really do any work stuff. And Jack, our son, who's 9 months old, just, he's been having a hard time. We think he's teething again, and he prefers, you know, my wife and my mom to myself, pretty much. Not in every case, but when he's upset, he doesn't necessarily want me to be the one to come along and try to make him feel better. So that is a little difficult to deal with emotionally. Logically, I understand it. I mean, he likes those people better. He finds comfort in them, and that makes sense. But it hurts your feelings a little bit. Even if I don't really think he dislikes me. It's just, as I said last week, you're not always the right parent for the job. I'm apparently not the right parent for the job of calming him down when he's super upset. He wants somebody else. And, you know, that's kind of how it works. So it's not a huge deal, but it is a bummer. And I'm sure everybody has to deal with this kind of stuff as they parent. And it happens. But yeah, so this week was back to normal. My mom was feeling better. She came over every day. I'm actually recording this on Thursday, hoping to get it up a little bit more on time on poppapa.com this Friday. I like to get them up by 3, but it's been going up closer to 5 or 6 the past few weeks. You might notice, if you've been to the site, and I encourage you to head on over, that I've been doing a lot more content. I've been pretty good about keeping up to date on the photo diaries. They post a week after, you know, the day that they happen on. So, you know, the one that I put up on Monday of this week was actually from Monday of last week. And then I'm trying to do posts every day in addition to that. I've got a recurring one where I go back and review the menu that I cooked the week before. Every now and then I'll throw up, you know, an original recipe or kind of highlight a recipe that I really enjoyed kind of in its own thing. I also wrote about the movie How to Train Your Dragon 2, which we watched. Had a great time with it, but I will say there is a major character death in there that your kid might not be okay with. Our daughter didn't seem to notice or mind, so who knows? I think it kind of just went over her head. We got lucky. I mean, we've explained death as best we can to her, but I don't know how much she actually understands it or gets it. So that was a little tricky, and kind of when it happened, my wife and I looked at each other and were like, oh. And then about 10 or 15 minutes later, they had like a funeral scene, but, you know, it's like a Viking funeral scene, so she's not really familiar with that idea. And she goes, oh, where is ... And I was like, oh, he's gone. He died. And she was like, oh, okay. You know, and that was it. So maybe it's not that big of a deal. If you think your kid can handle it, go for it. Because it's a gorgeous film. I read that DreamWorks actually developed new software that they implemented with this movie. And we watched it at home on Blu-ray on our pretty big TV. And it just looked amazing. So I give a huge thumbs up. It's a cool story. It's fun. It gets a little intense. The villain is really mean. And there's a couple parts that didn't make sense. I didn't mention this in the actual review, but I don't understand how the bad guy got to control that giant dragon that turned out to be mean. Like, I get him being able to intimidate a regular dragon because he's scary. But to intimidate this gigantic thing that's like the size of an iceberg, I just didn't make any sense to me. It's not a big enough complaint to kind of break the movie for me, but it was something that both my wife and I talked about and thought, this is kind of silly. Why is this even an issue? But, you know, so that's there. And I don't think I spoiled anything specific aside from saying that there is a character death, but, you know, which can be surprising. That actually reminds me of the episode of Goldbergs that was on this week. I don't know if anybody else watches that show. I love it because that kid is like a way more intense version of me when I was young. It's set in the 80s. This kid's probably 12 or so, so he's older than I would have been during the actual decade. And but he's still into a lot of the things that I was into at that time. Thundercats, G.I. Joe, and last night was all about Transformers and the Transformers the movie. Sorry, Transformers the movie, which was the animated movie that came out in the 80s, which actually saw the temporary death of Optimus Prime, which was, I believe, retconned in the immediately following season in the United States. And I want to say that in Japan, where the toy line originated, they actually did a separate continuity where he stayed dead, I think. I know at some point they broke away and did their own thing. I'm not sure if that was the road post or not. If you do know, leave a comment because I am curious about that. Transformers is a show that I enjoyed as a kid. I liked the toys, and that's really where it ended. I wasn't super geeky about this stuff when I was a kid. I just liked it. So I liked He-Man, I liked Transformers, I liked Thundercats. I watched the cartoons, I played with the toys, and that was about it. I couldn't even tell you the names of, gosh, a tenth of the G.I. Joe toys I had because it was like, that guy has a hat. Or that guy's a ninja. The yellow and blue ninja, not Snake Eyes. Of course I know Snake Eyes. But so that's kind of my relationship to these things. But in that movie, like I said, they kill Optimus Prime and Adam, the main character, is having a really hard time with it. So he and his grandpa want to film their own version that has a happy, better ending. And in the process, the son winds up dealing with death in a way as related to his grandpa, which is, you know, kind of again relating back not just to my childhood, but also to you know, what we just witnessed with How to Train Your Dragon. The funny thing is that two funny things actually. I remember the very first cartoon death I ever saw, and it wasn't Transformers the movie because I don't actually have any memory of that. I know that it came out, and I know I've seen it since then, maybe once or twice, but it wasn't something I was super into. But in the way that they were making a different version, when I was at Wizard and Toy Fair, I helped voice the character of Rodimus, or sorry, Hot Rod, in a animated video that my buddy Alex Kropanek put together that was stop motion, that was based on one of the strips that the guys had done years before in the Toy Fair magazine proper. And it's about that same part of the movie and all that, and it's pretty funny. And then there's also, I'll put a clip of that, I'll just put the whole video in the show notes for this episode so you can see what I'm talking about. But the other thing that episode reminded me of was the first cartoon death I remember, and it was like a Johnny Quest movie in the like late 80s, early 90s. I don't remember any of the details except for that you saw Johnny Quest's mom die, and I remember the whole time being like, no, she's gonna come back. The villain maybe has her and is hiding her somewhere, you know, blah blah blah, trying to figure out what it was, and it was not the case. And I remember I watched it with my parents because my dad watched the old Johnny Quest when he was a kid and liked it. So when this movie, you know, was being talked about, we were kind of excited and we watched it. And then I just remember being like, oh no, this is pretty intense. So that was the first cartoon death I remember. It reminded me of it. I just happened to have seen that episode of The Goldbergs last night, and I highly recommend that show if you're like my age. I'm 31 right now. You can probably relate if you're within, you know, 5+ years on either side. Plus, I think it's just a really great show that has, you know, it deals in a lot of big characters who also have very real moments, which I think is a difficult balance to strike, but one that they do very well on that show. It's one that we discovered kind of in reruns last season, and I actually stopped watching Arrow on the CW, which is a show I really, really liked, because I wanted to watch Goldbergs. It's on at 8:30 and Arrow starts at 8. I didn't want to watch half of Arrow So I would, I just gave it up this season to watch Goldberg's. That was back before we had On Demand. I could have caught up had we moved a little bit earlier, but it's not a big deal. I'll catch up on Arrow at some point. But I like Goldberg so much that I'm sticking with that one. Anyway, that was a bit of a tangent. The other thing that I just posted today, being Thursday, on poppapa.com is a review of three books that are for kids that are also by comic book creators. There was James Kochalka's The Glorkian Warrior Delivers a Pizza, Jeff Smith's Little Mouse Gets Ready, and Neil Gaiman's Hansel and Gretel. You can see my opinions on them there. Even though I only recommended one of them for a kid my daughter's age, three, I do think they're really fun. Well, the first two are fun. Hansel and Gretel is pretty dark. I mean, it's not the sugar-coated Disney-type version. It's the it's the real version with the witch and the cooking and the fattening up of the boy and all that kind of stuff. And some super creepy artwork. But I just really like the fact that there are these books that will allow me and comic book fans like me to share an aspect of this thing that we love with our kids. Lucy might be ready for, like, Jeff Smith's Bone, but it's a very long and involved story, so it's probably a little early at this point. But it's cool that I can read, you know, Little Mouse Gets Ready with her and kind of set up that groundwork. And then later on I can be like, hey, do you remember that book about the mouse with the pants? That guy did this, and maybe we can kind of move on to there. It actually reminded me, I didn't mention this in my post, but I have a couple of Neil Gaiman storybooks that I've had forever that I don't know where they are. I think one's about trading parents and one's about a wolf. That might be the same one, actually. I think they're both drawn slash illustrated or whatever by Dave McKean, who worked on Sandman with Neil Gaiman. So that's kind of neat, but those pictures are pretty gnarly, if I remember correctly. I got these books when I was a wizard because they were getting rid of them. They didn't have any use for them. So I grabbed them well before we had kids, and they've just been sitting around. Now I'll have a reason to read them and do a review or something on the site. One thing that I do want to say that I've said before on there is that when I review stuff like this and I say whether, you know, I think it works for my kid or not, you know, that's a super subjective, personal thing. I'm not saying necessarily that my three-year-old will respond to something the same way that your three-year-old will, or, you know, when any kid that I don't really know is ready for a certain kind of story or various materials. It's just, you know, this is what I thought. If we happen to line up in our ideologies and our parent skills, awesome. Maybe this can help you out. Maybe not. But I'm just putting it out there. How it worked for me. I'm not saying anybody else is wrong or right or whatever. That's just how it worked for us. But I think it's cool to kind of get that idea out there. I like when the podcasts I listen to recommend things because in some way we have a similar opinion on things. And so that's good. You know, outside of the website, I've been keeping pretty fairly busy. I'm getting ready for Toy Fair, which is an event that happens in New York City in February, the weekend, it's actually the weekend of Valentine's Day. It starts on Valentine's Day. It used to start on Sundays and go into the week. And I would go down Sundays, do as many appointments as I could, and then report on it as quickly as I could. They actually moved it to Saturday, which, you know, now it puts it in Valentine's Day, which probably isn't super convenient, but I think it's better for people traveling in because this is it's basically an event for toy companies to show off what they're going to have for sale in pretty much the next year, the whole year of 2015, or at least the first half. And the only people that are invited, it's not a public event. The only people that are invited are press. That's how I get in. And people who buy for stores or, you know, store representatives. And then of course other toy companies. So, and it's everything you can ever imagine. It's toys for little kids, you know, babies. It's dollar store toys. They have, you know, a lot of action figure type stuff. The big companies, Mattel is there. Hasbro has an offsite place that's always got a really cool, you know, show and feel to it. And just, you know, swing sets, that everything. So maybe if I have a little time, I'll be able to kind of walk around and check out some other stuff. that would be more in line with Pop Papa. I think I said this last year, and it didn't really work out because I was pretty booked up. But we'll see. That should be interesting. The weekend before that is actually my birthday. I'm going to be 32. Funny story, when I put my wife's cake together, you know, I baked the two halves, and then I made the icing, and my daughter picked out purple for the coloring, and I put it together. And I happened to be going through a box, and I saw some of those number candles that we've used for the kids for their birthdays. So I pulled them out. I got really excited because I saw the two that, you know, I thought I needed. I put them in the cake. She opens it up and she goes, I'm not 31, I'm 32. I was like, ah, so close. Because I have a really hard time remembering how old I am, which I guess is good. Sometimes it's bad. Like when somebody asks you when they're testing your birthday or whatever, when you're getting carded and you can't quite remember how old you are. That one's always fun. But I've always got the birthday down. So I'm turning 32 in a couple weeks now, I guess. And then Toy Fair. Em's parents are coming next weekend, I believe, because Em's birthday is the 6th, and then her mom's birthday is this upcoming week. And so they usually come, or we go visit them sometime in between then, and then just celebrate all three of our birthdays at the same time. So that'll be fun. We'll probably go out to a dinner somewhere nearby. Aside from that, you know, things have been pretty calm around here. We're finally kind of getting into patterns as far as the house goes. I've made up a checklist of chores and put it in like a plastic sleeve so we can just use a dry erase marker and then erase it and use it again. We split them between upstairs and downstairs so we can alternate. One week we'll focus on the downstairs and one week we'll focus on the upstairs because we're in a split level. The downstairs has the living room and my office, and then the upstairs has all the bedrooms and the kitchen. You know, the upstairs is technically more spaces, but we still have this living room type thing that we have no idea what we're going to do with. It's cool and weird to have an entire room that's just like, who knows? We don't know what we're going to do with it. We don't really have any furniture in there. We've got a couple random like boxes, and there's a fireplace, but we had it inspected, and the guy said, do not light a fire in this because it can build up gas behind the wall and you could have a chimney fire. So that's just kind of sitting there. We don't really know what we're going to do with that yet. But the playroom's pretty much all set up. I think a playroom can always use more picking up and cleaning and organizing. But my wife did a great job about a month ago and then up towards now getting that ready. Our dining room is a little cluttered, but okay. The kitchen is working pretty well, although I do want to get some kind of island. And the bedrooms are pretty solid these days. I kind of messed up my office again. I put all of my DVDs and Blu-rays in a giant binder that holds like 400 discs. I spread them all out. I got them in alphabetical order because I'm a little crazy like that. I left a couple box sets together. Like I've got this Mel Brooks box set with all of his movies in it. It's just a little bit more convenient keeping them in there. And then like the Aliens and the, you know, the Dark Knight sets that I've gotten over the years kind of work together. So all that's still kind of there, but now I've got all these cases. And I don't know about you guys. I know some people don't care. I'm about the only person that I know in my immediate vicinity who does care about these things. But like in the past, I've put my movies and my CDs in these binders, and then I save the cases. I know it's a problem. The reason I do it, at least the reason I tell everyone and myself, is that I want to have them on hand in case I want to get rid of something, because if you get more money if you sell it with a case instead of without a case. But on the other hand, I've probably got 6 boxes of various sizes in the garage right now with cases of CDs and DVDs and Blu-rays that aren't really organized in any way. So it's a little crazy. And I know that, and I think it's good that I know that, but I haven't really done anything to fix that just yet. I'm sure I'll get there eventually. So like I said, things have been going pretty smoothly this week. Lucy's gone to school Tuesday and Thursday, excuse me. On Tuesday, we had her follow-up doctor's appointment at 4 o'clock, and our school ends at 3. So I picked her up from school. We went over to the library for a little while. And she got to play on the computer, and she got to look at movies and books and play with some of the puzzles. And it was kind of funny because a lot of times when we go there, I'm usually the one that wants to head out pretty quickly. so that we can come back, because I get nervous about being away from my computer work-wise and everything. But since I knew that I didn't have anything going on in between, and that we did have an appointment at 4 that was about 20 minutes away or so, I wasn't as worried going in, which was kind of interesting. And I noticed that she actually played with the things pretty quickly. She played on the computer for like 10 minutes, and then she played with the puzzles for 10 to 15 minutes. And then we went and looked for books and movies. So maybe if I just relax a little bit when we're there, that won't be such a big deal. Book-wise, we got a couple of Caillou books that she's gotten a bunch of times. Some book about a dog's Valentine's Day, and then a Frozen book about Olaf that's basically created with stills from the movie and then different text about how Olaf wants to hang out in the summer. It's kind of silly or whatever, but harmless. And we read that at night. She's only done books in bed like once in the past 2 weeks because she's been skipping naps for the most part during the day and falling asleep on the couch. Now that's good because, in a sense, because if she doesn't need the nap, then that's fine, and she falls asleep on her own, which I think is good. It's not in her bed, which probably isn't the best thing in the world, but she's falling asleep on her own. The downside of that is that she kind of still does need the rest, and she is becoming very difficult around 4 o'clock if she hasn't napped. And like, she probably could have fallen asleep anytime between 3 and 5 or even later, and she just didn't. And then you don't want her to fall asleep that late, because then it's going to be even harder to get her to go to bed later on. So it's a tricky situation. Unfortunately, we haven't found a great balance for that yet. She's still getting up at night and coming into bed with us, and I'm having to sleep like on my side trying to figure out where to put my arms. And it is just not a great situation because I'm not getting any sleep. Jack's sleeping in the bed with us and all that. He's also not sleeping super well. My wife spends the time to put him down in our room. She breastfeeds him. He falls asleep. When she can, she moves him into his crib. And we probably only get about 45 minutes before he starts waking up again. And that's when I go up and I kind of rock him a little bit in my arms and I put him back. And he will sleep. We think he's teething pretty hard right now because he woke up last night and the night before with just like angrier than normal, and making this noise with his mouth. This just didn't sound very good. So that's in a rough spot. I mean, my wife even went to bed early last night just because he woke up, and she was like, "Well, I might as well go take care of him." So we're really, you know, it's hard because we don't have that much time together anymore. Although my mom and dad are going to take the kids this weekend, which will be nice for a little bit. And we finally saved up. I think we've got 2 bags of milk frozen, which is great. And we might be able to get a little bit more. So we're starting to get to the point where we can have a little bit more freedom. Although last weekend, I think my parents offered to watch the kids, I think Saturday night. And Lucy was already over there because we dropped her off after we had lunch. And, you know, I kind of looked at Em. We're both sitting on the couch. We're both pretty tired. We're like, "Do you want to go on a date or anything tonight?" And we just kind of looked at each other. And we're like, "We could go to a movie." I was like, "Honestly, I don't even know if I would stay awake for a movie right now." And she was like, "Yeah." There was some movie she wanted to see. And I was like, I think I'd fall asleep. And she's like, "Yeah." And so we would just wound up, you know, staying home. We had a good time anyway. We have a good time together. It's just one of those things that, like, we're in a weird spot right now. We just need Jack to kind of push through these teeth, get through a little bit of growing pains, and start to develop a little bit more of a an ability to kind of sit and relax and not freak out so quickly. I think once all that happens, we're going to be in a much better spot. And it'll probably be through the winter, actually. So who knows? I mean, these kids always throw a curveball. But one thing I am also looking forward to about the weather finally clearing up. I mean, we're in the middle of January right now, so we're still talking about another month and a half before that happens, if not 2 months. And it's kind of a weird feeling, like I mentioned with the living room upstairs that we haven't used at all and don't really know what we're going to do with. we haven't done anything outside. We planted a couple of trees as soon as we moved in, and that's about it. I mean, I think Lucy and I ran around outside one time because it's been pretty darn cold since we moved, and it's only gotten colder. But it's going to be so cool to really get out there, and hopefully we'll be able to get a playground or a swing set or whatever for the kids pretty early in the season. And just to have that, I mean, we're in a much bigger house than we were in, you know, compared to the condo. So we've got more space to spread out at this point, which is great. But we can actually continue to spread out outside, and I want to have cookouts, and I want to have people over and kind of do all that kind of stuff. And so it's something to look forward to. It's like a new aspect of the house that we haven't experienced yet, that we can kind of plan for and look forward to, which is nice. I did want to say two things. One, I mentioned this when I talked about Christmas at my in-laws' house, but Lucy has been playing a lot of She-Ra lately. She still loves watching the DVDs that I have. I actually found another one. I've got the season one, volume one set, and then I found like the best of She-Ra, and so we've been watching those. And the other weekend, I was up with her, and so the two of us were watching She-Ra because Jack was still sleeping in the bed with Em, and she was like, "There's Skeletor, let's get him!" And we'd run over, and we'd, you know, use our swords and like throw him in jail, and then he would get out again, and we'd run over and we'd do it again, and that was really fun. I mean, it's exactly what I did when I was a kid, and it's fun to kind of share that with her. And something that Jack's been enjoying a lot lately is the, I don't know what you call them, a jumperoo. We call it a bouncer. It's that thing that's kind of like a circle with legs that come out underneath, and they can kind of bounce up and down in it. They sit in it, and it's got like a bunch of toys and stuff. And I put this together like maybe a month ago, and he kind of had some interest in it, but he had to be in like the perfect mood, just right, you know, not too hot, not too cold. But in the past week or so, I've been putting him in it, and he just loves it. He goes crazy, and he bounces a lot, and it's, you know, he likes it. He likes, you know, getting his legs, like using them, I think, and they're getting them stronger. But I think he likes the music. He likes moving around. He likes bouncing. And so that's cool. It's fun to see him really enjoy something that lasts. And the other thing is that it tires him out. The other day I had him up and he was actually like putting his head to the side, hit almost falling asleep in there. So that was pretty cute. And then I picked him up and about 2 seconds later, 2 minutes later, literally he was asleep. So that's fun. It's always good to see the kids enjoying things. And I feel it's important to share the good along with the bad. I mean, unfortunately the bad tends to pop up, you know, the lack of sleep, the tantrums, the sleep deprived, not deprived, the lack of sleep crankiness that comes with the children. But overall, I think they're both doing really great. I think we've got a pretty good setup going, and I'm excited to see where things go from here. So with that, I'm going to sign off. My name is TJ Deitch. This is the Pop Pop and Napcast, episode 88. If you want to read the show notes or check out some of the other stuff that I mentioned writing on the site, head on over to poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. I have fully converted the Monkeying Around the Kitchen archives over to Pop Papa. So if you want to check out any of the recipes I've written about, you can head on over there. And I also do a pop culture blog called United Monkey. That's monkeye.com. I've definitely done more posts on that as well. Kind of shrinking my blog output down to two has helped kind of focus everything and kind of kickstart a little bit of energy in that department, which has been great. And I'm always on Twitter at Papa Deitch. That's PoppaDiETSCH. All right, gang. Have a good one.